But right now I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. This is Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." That was Matthew chapter 9. And then we turn to the very last verses of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is God's word for us today. Amen. I want you to think back. Think back to when you were a child, or think back to when you first heard about God or came to church. I want you to think back. For some of us, it'll be further than others. I was a church kid. I was carried to church long before I could walk in on my own legs. Much of what I learned about God in my early years came from my parents, who loved God and taught me that God loved me. But it wasn't just my believing parents that spoke into my life. There were Sunday school teachers. Gladys Drefke was one of my Sunday school teachers and eventually youth leaders. She was a senior lady who had no kids of her own, and she poured in to the kids in our church. I was shaped and changed by people, faithful people at Camp Oneida that gave it their time to spend a week with kids at camp. I learned more about God, about the Bible, and I learned how to tell other people about God from my youth group leaders, who welcomed me and gave me a safe place, and when the time was right, put me up front and helped me to learn how to lead a game or to lead a group. There's all kinds of people that I can point to in my childhood, in my life, that have helped me become the woman and the Jesus follower that I am today. Now think about you. Who brought you to the church for the first time? Was it a parent or a grandparent? Maybe somebody who drove a bus and somebody picked you up, a neighbor picked you up and brought you to Sunday school. Maybe it was a friend who invited you out to church. Joy's not shaking her head. Somebody different. Who was it for you, Joy?
Religious education in the public school.
In the public school. Marvelous. Marvelous. Anybody else? What's your first memory of learning about God or hearing about Jesus?
My uncle picked us kids up and took us to Belmore Baptist Church.
Belmore Baptist Church. There you go.
In Bell's Corners.
Yeah. Yeah. You were an adult, right, Suzanne?
Well, I went to church as a kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Think of those people. And think about the people when you were a teen or an adult who maybe you'd have been going to church every single Sunday since that, you know, first pickup. Or maybe it had been a long time. Think about the people who talked to you about God as a teenager or as a young adult. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher or somebody at a Baptist Young People's event. Maybe it was a coworker, somebody in your extended family, a pastor that you knew. Maybe it was somebody who prayed for you.
How many of us got those little Gideon Bibles in school?
Yeah, they still did that when I was in grade 4. But I think by the time 3 years had gone by and my brother was in grade 4, that was in that time was when it changed and they stopped. Yeah, those Gideon Bibles. Think about a mother, a spouse, a brother or sister who prayed for you faithfully. A grandparent who never gave up on you. Think about those people. Now think about you as a faithful, believing Christian. Somebody who had taken those first steps of faith. Who were the people who helped you go deeper? Who helped you think about the Bible in new or different ways? Might have been somebody who led Bible study or Sunday school here at the church. Might have been a pastor that you knew. Might have been somebody that shoved you in front of a group of kids or other people and said, here, lead this Bible study. All of us are people like that. Faithful people who helped us meet Jesus. Who never gave up on us, even when we kind of, maybe people should. Who challenged us to go deeper. Who said, it's okay, when you're ready, we're waiting anytime you're ready to come back. Who prayed for you when you didn't even know that you needed prayer. Who welcomed you back with open arms when you found yourself in a church building again. I'm thankful for those people. I'm thankful for those people in my life, and I'm sure thankful for those people in your life. Can I get an amen on that? Yes. That's exactly. Where would we be without them? Our lives would look completely different. Think about yourself in that, you know, the darkest time. Maybe it was a dark time when you were already a Christian, but stuff was bad all around and you needed help. Think about yourself before you got to know Jesus. Amory, think about a time when you've been sad. Now, Jesus one day was going out and he was spending time with people. And he was going from village to village to village. And he met a whole bunch of people who were sad. People who were hurting. People who were sick. People who were lost and didn't even know that they were lost. People who were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I'm told that goats will take care for themselves. Sheep, not so much. Sheep need somebody to make sure that they stay safe. Sheep need somebody to make sure that they find food. Sheep need help. These people needed help. And when Jesus saw them, he loved them. He had compassion on them. And do you know what he did? He turned to his disciples, his followers and his friends, and he said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Except that at that moment, that's not what he did. He said, pray. He said, the harvest is plentiful. Look at all these people. That God is already doing something in their hearts. They're just waiting for someone to take them by the hand. The harvest is plentiful. But the workers are few. There are only a few people coming to help. So ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask God to send out people into his harvest fields. Ask God, pray to God, and ask God to send people to love these folks, To send people to tell them about Jesus. To send people to help them in the ways that they need help. God's already at work. The harvest is already ready. God is the Lord of the harvest. So pray to God to send people who will help. Something happened next, though. It was only a day or two later. And Jesus gathered his followers around. And out of all of those people, he chose 12. 12 of them to be his first disciples. And he sent them out. And as Jesus was going from town to town telling people, God loves you and God's kingdom is coming near and this is good news, Jesus sent all of them out and gave them the authority to share that message too. They became the answer to their own prayer. They prayed that God would send people, and God sent them. That was for just a training mission. It was only to the Jewish people who already knew some about God. Jesus hadn't died and come back to life yet. It wasn't quite time. But when Jesus had died for us to make all things new, when Jesus had come back to life, when his followers gathered with him for one of the last times, Jesus gathered them together and he said, as you are going, make disciples of people from all kinds of peoples and places, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I promise that I will be with you always, from this day on to the very end of the age. They started just among their friends and families, their neighbors close to them. But eventually, God breathed his spirit into them, and not just 12, but every single one of Jesus' followers. God breathed into them with the courage and the power and the opportunity to go out into the whole world and to tell people about Jesus, to help them become Jesus' followers, to baptize them in Jesus' name, to teach them what Jesus had commanded them, to help them become disciples. They became disciple-making disciples. And because they were faithful, they told people the good news about Jesus. They helped people become disciples. And then those disciples made more disciples, brought their children to worship, told their neighbors about Jesus, shared their food with the hungry. More people became disciples. And then those disciples made more disciples, who made more disciples. On and on it went through every nation, every century, until people in Ontario knew the good news about Jesus. The Culvers and the Kitchens and the people in your history, the Snively's and the Vansickles, your people, your neighbors told you about Jesus, picked you up to bring you to Sunday school, shared the good news as faithful teachers at public school, stood in front of a bunch of teenagers at a Baptist Young People's event, prayed for you, and talked to you around your kitchen table. Those disciples made you disciples. And here we are today because God's grace, God's love shares God's message. But here's the thing. We still think that it's terrifying. Because there's something in us that says, this can't be easy, it must be hard. And it is honestly hard sometimes to figure out what it looks like to make disciples. What does it mean to say that Jesus says to me, go into all the world and make disciples? What does it look like for you? It doesn't look that complicated. Disciple making, to help someone to make disciples, that's the most important word in that whole thing that Jesus gave. That's the command. Everything else explains how it works. To make disciples is to help people discover that God loves them. To help people turn towards Jesus. To help people live as a God follower. Not every one of us will be called to go with Andres and Bamama and serve people in Rwanda. To step into the Congo, like we read in our letter this morning. And to worship alongside people who face the dangers of Ebola on a day-to-day basis. We are not called to that, likely. But every one of us, if we believe in Jesus Christ, has God's Spirit inside of us. And we are disciples, Jesus followers. And that makes us disciple makers, people with a calling, people with an opportunity. And it looks like your everyday. It looks like when you speak to somebody with love and respect, even when they're mouthing off to you. It looks like when you hug your grandchild or your great-grandchild and say, I love you, and God does too. It looks like when you pray for that person that everybody else has given up on. It looks like giving faithfully. It looks like worshiping together and inviting people to worship with us. Sometimes it means inviting somebody to come to a barbecue or a car rally who would never walk inside the building. And other times, it looks like serving communion to somebody that you've known for 50 years. As you are a faithful Jesus follower, you are helping other people around you become and be disciples. Sometimes it will look like having scary conversations, but a lot of times those scary conversations come to you anyways and you're stuck in the middle of them. When a neighbor comes up to you and says, why are you going to church this Sunday instead of going to the coffee shop or the golf tournament? When a child comes up, maybe a grandchild or a niece or nephew comes up to you and says, somebody told me that God created the world, but I don't understand. Can you tell me more about that? How does that work? We find ourselves sometimes in these conversations. We find ourselves in those conversations at funerals. What happens next? Does God love us enough to be here in the midst of this too? Think back. Think back to those loving people who walked with you, who first brought you to church, who prayed for you no matter what. Think back to the Janices who led you in worship. The Walters, who dragged you out no matter whether you wanted to come. the people in your life who made such a big difference. You get to be that. You get to be that for somebody else. Somebody at home. Somebody at work. Somebody in your grade 5 classroom. We get to be that together, every single one of us. Disciple-making disciples. People who know how much God loves us and then share that love with the people around us. That's what the Great Commission is all about. It's an everyday living for Jesus that changes our life and changes the lives of the people around us. Not because we're brave or crazy, but because Jesus Christ is powerful and God's love and God's Holy Spirit are working in us and we're being obedient and following him every step of the way. I am so thankful for you. I am so thankful that you are making disciples each and every day, everywhere you go. Let's pray together. Jesus, you called your first disciple and you showed us what it means to love you and to follow you and to help other people learn to love you and follow you as well. Jesus, you died for us and came back to life so that we can be yours. And that incredible message is one that we want to share. Sometimes we're not sure how, God. So we ask that you would be with us when it's scary or hard. And you would remind us every single day that when we are being who you created us to be and living as you call us to live, then we are your disciple-making disciples, helping others to love and follow you too. Thank you, Jesus, for those who did that for us. And please help us to help you do that in other people's lives as well. We pray this in your name. Amen. Go into this world living for Jesus. Go knowing that you are loved and saved. Go knowing that God calls you, invites you, and helps you to love those around you and to help them know God's love too. Go as God's missionaries and know that wherever you go, Jesus will be with you, even to the end of the age. Amen.